Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Welcome to the Big Interview Season 2017-2018. Before this interview starts, a brief announcement. This season, we're inviting our listeners to join the Big Interview Members Club. In Spanish football, they call them socios, members. They are the lifeblood of the club, de facto owners, and they get special treatment in return. That's how this will work too. Here is everything you can get if you choose to become a socio of the Big Interview for £2.99 a month. You get one extra exclusive Big Interview episode. No one except the socios will hear this. Join now and you'll get Rafael van der Vaart.
David Silva.
That's a joy to watch.
Yeah, that's a joy. That goes away. The real number 10s. Mm. Because you have to be like Pogba. Big players, strong, box-to-box. And I think when you have still players like me, like Silva, Schneider, Iniesta, I think that's why you're going to buy a ticket.
Yeah, for sure.
And me too.
You get a brand new weekly show. We call it The Big Inside View, where I'll give you my take on what I've learned, seen or heard over the past 7 days in football. Socios will also receive bonus shows during the season, including question and answer specials around big events like Clásicos. All that for £2.99 a month. Less than a pint, less than the price of your favourite football magazine, less than a matchday programme. Go to patreon.com/GrahamHunter to join us, to sign up now, to make this happen. That's Patreon, patreon.com/GrahamHunter. Join us. Make the Big Interviews bigger. So, this is part one of an interview with Slaven Bilic, recorded at West Ham's pre-season camp in northern Germany. Before I tell you any more about that, thanks to our friend at that club, Max Fitzgerald, for making this one happen, as he has so often before. That said, this becomes a good news, bad news story for outright Hammers fans. Bad news first. I apologise for the lack of chat here about your club and the extraordinary transfer window that they've had. It's because we talked and talked and talked and talked about other things. But at the end, you'll hear the promise we make to come back to him in November and talk to Slaven in depth about West Ham. His time as a player, his time as a manager. The good news? This interview, I'm sure, will leave you loving your manager even more than you already do. For everybody else, I think, honestly, this is a rare treat because of Slaven, not me. This is the Bilic of Croatia, the centre-back of the team we all fell in love with at Euro 96, and the team which could have won it all in France 2 years later. Šuker, Boban, Boksic, Prozineski. You're going to hear about all of them, and in microscopic, interesting, colourful detail. Slaven Bilic was truly fantastic company over the course of 2 hours in a wine cellar in Rottenburg, Germany. Raise your glasses, please. This is vintage and one of the most passionate, insightful guests we've had on The Big Interview. Cheers. So let me take you back 10 years, nearly 10 years, to Wembley, November the 21st. I want you to do us a favour and give us your eyes in the game when, if I'm going to set it up, and if I say anything wrong, hammer me and correct me, but then take over. You've won the group. Croatia and England are in the same group. You've won the group. You come to London. And Russia. So you're already qualified for Euro 2008. You've beaten England, in Zagreb.
2-0, yeah.
Yeah, 2-0. Neville and Eduardo. England go 2-0 down. You're playing freely. Your tactics look good, but you're playing with confidence and relaxation because you're qualified and you're bossing the game. And England and Scotland, can't speak for Ireland and Wales, love nothing better than to be Hail Mary, no hope, 2-0 down, because then
everything goes out the window and we charge, and we're quite good at that, and it's 2-2. And at 2-2, England are in the tournament.
Yeah.
2-2 puts them through. Now, my question, which has bugged me from then until right now, is if that had been Croatia in the other in the England shoes, if that had been Italy in the other shoes, if that had been the modern Spain, they'd have closed the game down and said, OK, it's Wembley, we'd like to win, but 2-2 gets us through. Nothing happens after this. But they went for the game. In terms of mentality, openness, tactics, they went for the win, which you have to applaud, except it was wrong. They were open, you won. And I want you, please, to take me, in a coach's eyes, from 2-2. How did that game look and feel to you? Because I thought it was naive and open.
Okay.
Do you understand me?
Yeah, completely. Well, the thing is, we played that qualifications very good, you know. But it was group of three. No matter that there was Israel and there was Macedonia, who our neighbor, not neighbors, but from ex-Yugoslavia. It's always tough games for us. And it were. It was home and away, very tough games. And Andorra, okay. And then, so we played really good. But so were Russia and England. And we were very nervous. We beat Israel home, and we thought we are okay. Two games to go. We are okay. We beat them, and then Russia beat England. With two games to go, suddenly, we have to go to Skopje, to Macedonia, and then Wembley. Russia is playing in Israel. Mm-hmm. Israel finished, mm-hmm. no chance. Mm-hmm. And then they play Andorra, so 3 points. And England has only one game to play. And that's Croatia, home. They played friendly 3 days before. If Russia beats Israel away, and they're going to beat Andorra, they definitely go. First two were going, okay, directly. No playoffs, no whatsoever. If we lose in Macedonia, and if we lose at Wembley more than 2 goals, which is on a day always okay. possible.
Fair point, fair point.
We are third. We out after great qualifications. So we the whole week preparations before Skopje and then Wembley was like very motivated and very, very, a little bit nervous, you know. So we went to Skopje and it was pouring rain. The game wasn't supposed to be played.
Hmm.
And then, but they decided, okay, we gotta play. And halftime, 0-0. And we heard at the halftime, I will never forget it, we heard that in Israel...
Yeah.
Israel beat Russia 2-1. And that was over. Game over, we are definitely in. So, anyway, we went to Wembley. First, I remember, at that time, we didn't have a camp like St. George's.
Okay,
we didn't have a camp in Croatia. We used to do the preparations in Slovenia. On a border, but there. And it was November, as you said, and pouring rain. And I remember us training between Macedonia and Wembley. And I remember pouring rain, a little bit of snow, not greatest pitches or whatever. And then I remember Modric come to me. He was then 21, 22.
Mm-hmm.
He came to me like mud on a pitch, everything. He came to me, boss, we can't wait. Can you imagine when we come out on Wembley? You know, we're going to fly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then, so we didn't have that negative kind of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
It was my team, and now I can say that, that, and that. But if Russia had beat Israel, it would be totally different game. So let's talk about the game. We completely without any pressure.
Mm.
In all, of course, you don't want to get hammered. You want to show yourself in a temple of football. You know, Wembley, you're playing Wembley.
But you're liberated.
It's a privilege, but you are liberated. You only have that positive kind of a pressure. Yeah. I remember first 10 minutes. England, much better than us. Micah Richards played right back. They were like all over us. Didn't have a chance. He didn't score, but with all that. Suddenly, Crunchar, good shot from 25 yards or whatever, but keeper should have saved it. 1-0. Okay, puff. England is still very early, like 10 minutes or whatever. Still very early, but okay, now now we are a little bit better. You know what I mean? We grew confidence. After 20 minutes, great move from Eduardo and Olic. Great move from Eduardo. Olic run behind them. Puff. 2-0. At 2-0, we are best team in the world. We always, then we are unbelievable. And then everybody wants a ball. Everybody plays. Give me the ball. Give me. And England goes down.
Yeah.
We have very talented players.
Yeah.
At that time on the pitch, you had Crunchar, you have Modric, you have Crna, you have Olic, you have Eduardo, you have Niko Kovac, Robert Kovac, Šimunić. We had really a top team. 2-0. Second half, they put Beckham on. Puff, pressure a little bit. Not big chance. We had more chances to score the third one. Didn't. 2-1. After 2-1, suddenly they grew. Crouch, I think.
A fellow guest on this series, Crouch. And we talked to him about his technique and learning the Curver method. And his goal, apart from making it 2-2, is a beautifully taken... The technique is
brilliant,
lovely.
Brilliant technique.
Yeah?
Brilliant technique. And so it's 2-2. Maybe, I don't know, 20 minutes to go or whatever. So it's 2-2. We are disappointed, but we are okay. So I would agree with you. Close the game. But you can't close the game. It's not like when people say close the game. It's also about the opponent. I've seen also less, but I've seen many Italian clubs and national teams conceding the goal. But the people don't talk about it. Okay, they can close the game because it's in their nature. Because the fans accept it and all that. But in England, it's not the nature. And by the way, I would agree with you if we have scored the goal from a counter-attack. Let's say three against, like we scored the second one, Olic goal. It wasn't a counter-attack. The problem for England in that game is that 72 minutes, 72nd minutes, they were okay. But the more they needed a goal to ease that pressure out of them, when it came, you know what I mean? The longer it goes, 2-2, it's active. It's a result that it is enough for them. But back in your mind, you think, what if they score? And we are very capable of scoring goals. So we scored that goal was a cracking goal from Petrić. It is 25 yards left foot, unbelievable. Not, you know, so you can't.
It felt to me, okay, so I'm going to take a lesson from the guy who I asked. It was your team, and you know best 1,000 times. My question is, in play, it wasn't a counter-attack goal, but in playing and committing, England, I have to say, have never been great at keeping possession of the ball. So in opening and playing, to my eyes, they were beginning to occasionally gift the ball away, allow you to be on the ball. If you allow Croatia on the ball, I watched every 5 minutes, there was just an advance of 10 metres until, okay, England weren't camped back there. But you were playing, you had no pressure. My mentality, if I'm a player out there, is, or the manager, is, if we let them have the ball, what did happen might happen, and we need to go to the tournament. I just can't figure the balance. I know the context because they were going, it's Wembley, we have to win. There's no honour in a 2-2 draw that takes us to the tournament until you don't go to the tournament. Then there's honour. I just didn't. I'm not being aggressive about them. I just think that's where England, above all, needs an upgrade in mentality. I thought it was a little example of how you go,
maybe this does us. Maybe it does, but you know what?
I haven't convinced
first
you.
First of all, I don't know what. Of course, you slaughtered Steve McLaren. To be fair, I don't know what he should have done different. First, Steve McLaren, you approach the game, but it doesn't help you if you are England manager.
I think
you lose the game.
I think it's the squad mentality.
You know what I mean. But first of all, you were without. Is it Rooney? Is it Terry? Is it Ferdinand? Was it? You were without five or six players who got injured, and then he made two terrific changes at the halftime. He changed the game, not necessarily playing wise, because I remember the game. We were still better in the second half, But he put Beckham and he put...
Beckham and Defoe? Or yeah. Beckham for sure?
Beckham for sure.
I think Defoe for sure.
Yeah. And Beckham for sure, yeah. And they changed the game. It was 2-2. So to close, first you say, why don't we keep a ball? Take the ball off Croatians. It's impossible to take the ball off us. Because we were really good in that. And I know you, and that's about the mentality. You can't. And believe me, it wouldn't be good for English football or British. The great thing about English or British or whatever football is that is still, it's changed. But it's still that pureness, like, come out and play.
Yeah, I remember. I understand.
Italy is different. In Italy, they are more than happy. And that's related after to the talk shows, what they are talking about, because they talk the same in pubs, in their coffee shops. They like to talk about he should be 3 meters inside, he should have kicked the ball there and there. In England, come on, let's play football.
Yeah.
It changed, but I remember, in Italy, it's completely... I was many times at the stadiums in Italy, watching their Serie A games. Also, the fans are also like, go back, sit back and all that. I remember myself, it's a good story. I was playing for West Ham. We were struggling. It's season 96-97. We were struggling. We are like something like 7-8 games to go. We play home. We are not in a relegation zone, but we are in a relegation battle. We are 15. I don't remember now, but I remember that game because I tell that example, that story. We're playing home against Chelsea. Chelsea is very good already. Not without Abramovich, but with Viali, with Zola, good, really good. And we need points. And they are much better than us. So we are leading 2-1 or 3-2. I don't remember. 3-5 minutes to go. So there is a offside kick for us. So I want to take it, but I want to wait some time. Because I come from the country that is also, it's not Italy, but it's not England. So I go, I think like, okay, I'm going to play a long ball in a channel, all right. But I'm going to put the ball down, I'm going to like pretend to play it, and then I'm going to call Ludo Mikloško from the goal. He's Czech, he also understands, and then Ludo is going to come, and then I'm going to tell Ludo to go back, and then I'm going to take it, so maybe I'm going to get a yellow, but doesn't matter because we're going to wait some time and rest because we were under pressure. While I was doing that, our crowd, and we are winning, and they are praying for us to win and stay up, our crowd goes, any chance? You know, that's, but you can't change that.
You can't
switch for 15 minutes. We're going to be like Italians. You ain't going to be like. But this is good. And we conceded the goal. But then we scored. I think Michael Hughes scored and we beat them 3-2 or 4-3. I don't know.
And the guy who was shouting any chance and then saw it 3-3 said at the end, I always knew there'd be a winner. I always knew the 4-4 was coming.
So
then, all right. Okay. Let's let the British cavalry character lie for a moment, because maybe that's part of what makes us attractive. You've won the game, you've won the group, and I want to use a jump here to bring in something that I feel passionate about, because it takes you to Euro 2008, which is a big adventure and fun. My little story is that I'm following Spain and I'm learning and I'm getting to know the players and I'm allowed to live with and travel with the squad in my job. So that was a really gigantic experience in Switzerland and Austria. And Spain go on to win it using the psychological tactics of this eccentric, idiosyncratic, clever Luis Aragonés, who calls opposition players by the wrong names and kisses Fernando Torres on the head and said, I've had a dream, you're going to score 2 goals, and calls Sergio Ramos out in front of not only the players but the media in a break of tradition, which worked, and he does a million things that makes him just seem a little bit old and idiosyncratic and crazy, and the players love it. They're unified, and it gives an extra gear to their brilliant football, and they win the tournament. I'd ask you, does that remind you, and I don't know the answer to this question, of Blazevic, who must have been, you know, we didn't meet him. It's unfortunate we didn't. All we've got is stories of what a coach that I think sounds similar to Aragonés in terms of his ability to get inside somebody's head, his ability to maybe give you an extra edge or to make you laugh or take the pressure off or to put the pressure on. I'm saying things I shouldn't be saying because you should be saying them. Do you, when I describe Aragonés and whatever you already knew about Aragonés, that is my comparison with Blazevic and your experience of him?
Could be. Blazevic is maybe the best example that football is not a football manager job. It's not only about tactics, and the tactics is only one part, very important part. But and without that part, you can't be in the game. You have to know it, but that doesn't make you a football manager. Blažević is the best example that other things are also as important, and because there are many of them all together, accumulation of them, they become more important than only if you know tactics. Why? Because he was our manager for 5 years. Okay, I played 5 years and then I retired because of my injury, but then he continued another 3 years, I think, or whatever, with almost the same generation. And he was perfect coach for us. At that time, and many people in Croatia are saying that we used to have, he died a few years ago, Tomislav Ivic. Tomislav Ivic is a coach from my hometown, Hajduk Split. That is, the Italians said that he's the biggest coach in Europe, if you are counting the titles in different countries. Hmm. Mourinho is not his pupil, but he also admired them because Ivic was also coach in Portugal. So he won the titles in ex-Yugoslavia with Hajduk Split. He won the titles in Ajax Amsterdam, Anderlecht, Porto, Fenerbahce, I think. And he never managed, let's say, in England, because at that time it wasn't like the case that you had. But he's top coach, top. But he's tactician. Press there, one against one here, one against one. Yeah. And he's from my hometown. And even when he was very old, before he died, when I was still in Croatia as international manager, I used to go to see him to talk football about him, because he's also like crazy, could talk, and he talked football 24/7. I used to go with him talking, asking questions and all that. So I admired him. Mm. So many people in Croatia were saying, after we became third in the world or whatever, brilliant generation, that what... many people think that if Ivic was our manager,
mm-hmm. instead of Blazevic,
instead of that, we would probably have won the World Cup. I adore Ivic, but I don't think that it would be the case, because our group was very, very group of good players, some genius players, but very strong individuals. That couldn't be trained in a way that, for example, Ivic was training. Listen, you got to move 3 yards here. Šuker, you have to go on a wing. Šuker would never go on a wing, you know, because that was Šuker. You can't say many things to Boban or Bokšić or Asanović or Prosinečki, Štimac, or even to me. You had to approach us in a different way. It doesn't have to be a nice way, because Blažević was also sometimes very cruel to us. But he's the best example that football is not only tactics.
When you talked about you have to approach us, Slaven's hands were going like the mix of a magician or somebody who can manipulate the players' heads, and his hands are almost as expressive as his words.
I remember Blažević. Okay, 96, we were nervous. We were more than football team. It was after the war. We were like a team that... We were like ambassadors of Croatia. Many people, even in Europe, I'm not talking states. I'm not talking United States. They didn't know where Yugoslavia is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because of the education or whatever. Or,
no passports,
but even, no travel. Even in like many Croatians didn't know the difference between Estonia and Latvia. Mm. But when it's about your country, you go like, how is that possible, you know? So many people in Europe didn't know.
You were 5 years old in 96, right?
Me?
Croatia.
Croatia.
Independence, 91?
Yes, 91.
Yeah.
But 95, we got liberated. The war finished, 95. It was the action called the storm. Okay, so we were a very young country. And we knew that we it's more than a football tournament. And we were good. We were also like Ferguson said about us, that we are dark horses and all that, because we had already players. Bokšić, one of the major strikers in Europe, he played for Lazio. At that time, Lazio was with Juventus and Milan there.
Sure.
Šuker playing there, Boban playing in Milan, this one there, Jarni Juventus. We had a really good team. But we were also, it was first time for us, together as a national team. He eased us. He helped us, Blažević. He was very, very good in that. Incredible. Or World Cup 98. Listen to this. So me and Blažević, we are playing Argentina. Mm-hmm. 98. And me and Blažević, we go to press conference together. Like. And then he talks. And there are press from Croatia, press from France, press from Argentina. And he goes, listen, at that time, we had, let's say I played 98, I played for Everton. We had, all of us played abroad, or 70% of the team played abroad. Some of them played in Croatia still, Hajduk Split or Dinamo Zagreb. Only Boban played for Milan, Šuker played for Real Madrid, Bokšić wasn't at the tournament, he was injured. And I think one more played maybe Juventus, if, but I don't think so. All the others are, Jarni was at Betis, Sevilla, the other one was Valencia, Vlaovic, Štimac, Derby County, me, West Ham, Soldo, Stuttgart, Stanić, Parma, Šimić, Inter Milan, I think, or Milan. All the Argentinians, they all played in Real, Barcelona, Inter, Milan, that's basically it. Maybe Lazio and Parma, all of them. All 22 in the great clubs. Press conference. Blažević goes, I'm there. Let me tell you something. He goes, they have a good team. They have really good team, very dangerous team. But they are players, they don't play for the biggest teams in Europe. And I'm a little bit like, what are you talking about? You know, and he goes, no. Then he goes, this guy is the best center back in the world. Really? And listen, I know.
You're not going to argue then, are you?
I knew that I'm not. And I also know that he knows that I'm not. But it doesn't matter, it's nice. it gives you that 10, 15, 20%. That, so he was great in that. You grow, you know, you're like big.
So not you, like you. You're here to say that it worked.
It worked.
But why does that work? How?
Because it's in human's nature. It's in human nature. Like it's not only that you have to compliment the women. They all want to hear, but it's in human's nature that you want to hear things that no matter that you don't believe in them. It's nice. And no matter what, you know, the compliment is, you always believe in it.
I think so.
You always believe in it.
So he would have wasted his time saying to you, move your chair 3 meters this way and tactically, let's look at the audience this way. But if he, and he didn't care that there might be somebody out in the audience saying, no, the message wasn't for the journalist, the message was for you guys.
The message was for, no, the message was for us. Because he knew that tomorrow, it wasn't internet at that time or whatever, he knew that tomorrow we're going to open on a match day, we're going to open the press from Croatia that we were getting in France, you know. And no, you can't mix. Who said? I think Dostoevsky or whoever said that you can't make mistakes with compliments. You know what I mean? If you tell them, you know, okay, you can become big-headed or whatever or that, but I always want my players or my friends or my family or whatever or myself to be confident. It's better to be confident than to be fair, than to be doubtful in yourself, you know.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
So let me put it to you that as clever a psychologist Brlazovic was, the crucial thing was that we've already agreed that he had in his squad 4 or 5 geniuses and 6 more exceptional players, exceptional leaders. So in any way you care, help us. And I'm going to probably give you 4 names to begin with, and then you pick a 5th if you want, or make it about your own game, and just describe the guy or his style or what made him great. And I'm going to ask you in order about Boban, Šuker, Prosinečki and Boksić. So, Zvonimir Boban, tell me something that you remember about why he's so special. A guy, a footballer, a leader, I don't care.
Well, I know Boban, he came from a small town in Dalmatia to my hometown, Split.
Which is Split.
Yeah, because he wanted to join. Well, he joined Hajduk Split when he was only 10. And because he is, I think, I was born in September 1968. He was born in October 1968. So he came basically to our group, to my group that we trained, and we were 10 or 11, I don't know. And he wanted to stay there, but there were some problems with accommodation for his family. That's why he went to Dinamo Zagreb. So I know him really, really, really well. First of all, he's everything. He's like his top talent. He's, of course, he's top player. He's a very hard worker. He learned Italian. He speaks Italian like he was. He doesn't speak Italian like I speak English. He speaks Italian like he was, as he was born in Italy.
Okay, that's a proper compliment.
And it takes effort. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
He's yeah, yeah.
a workaholic. He also, just to describe you, Boban. He finished the University of History after his football career. Well, he didn't need to, you know, when he was a great career, everything. He didn't finish it to find the job. He finished it because he wanted to do something different. And at the end of the day, now I adore Boban. Now Zvonimir Boban is number one advisor of Gianni Infantino in FIFA for football, number one. So he's complete person as a player. He was our captain. He was with Šuker, of course, our most recognized player. And what can I say about Boban?
Can I ask
he changed his game. Sorry, very important for Boban. He went from Dinamo Zagreb to Milan, AC Milan. That was at that time the best team in Europe, and only 3 foreign players could play.
Yeah.
And that was Gullit, Van Basten and Rijkaard. No chance for a 4th one. No, not even for Romario. You know, no chance. He went there, sending him on loan to Bari. After 1 year, he came back and stayed there 10 years. 10 years changed the way he was playing football, because Boban was in Dinamo Zagreb He was a number 10. He was number 10 who all the managers had to force him to defend. Force him. And then, because he was capable, got legs and everything, was doing that. In Milan, he found out with Capello that he has to change. He's got no chance. He has to change the game. And he became a holding midfielder, basically. Very organized one, very tough one, with skill, of course. So brilliant. Brilliant talent, but also, more than anything, brilliant mentality.
Because he was able to reinvent himself, exactly, and do a job which is almost the reverse of a 10.
Exactly.
A 10 is supposed to open the can.
Yeah, but
and the position he played
that
is to close the can.
But it's easy to say that now, yeah, and like many people will say now, oh, yeah, yeah, but so what? But can you imagine at that time? You have to work so hard, and there are no guarantees that you're going to play that position for AC Milan. When his other option was probably, he could have gone to Sampdoria, Fiorentina, or Spain, or wherever, and play number 10. And be king. Take free kicks, everything.
Perfect.
So the people, you know what I mean? The people are like in everything, you know what I mean? It's hard to describe the toughness of that decision that you have to make. So Boban, in everything that he was doing, he's like a role model for the new generation.
So you use the expression, a brilliant expression, a complete man, a complete person.
Complete.
So let me change the order of who I was going to ask you about. Because if Boban is keeping an administrator right at the top of FIFA about the game, the health of the game that we all love, our audience loves, Davorshuker is a complete... I'm going to offer you the chance to say yes or no. A complete man also because he's now in charge of the federation.
The chairman of the FA, yeah.
He's keeping your football healthy. But let's start with Davorshuker. I don't know, the first time you know him, the personality, what kind of striker, if you make comparisons, what you thought about him as a guy, when you sent the ball to him, what did you expect to happen? Pick anything from the jigsaw, Davor, and tell us about Davor.
Davor was... Without Davorshuker, you said, and I agree with you, that we had 4 or 5 genius players. I prosinetched that. Okay, we're going to talk after.
We are. We're saving but the let's say, sexy let's, one to last.
Let's say... we had few of them, but without Davorshuker, we wouldn't be nowhere near third in the world or whatever. Davorshuker scored in one moment. I think it was when he had 50 caps. He scored 42 goals for us. Can you imagine the amount of confidence that we had as a team when you are 0-0 and you are not happy, on when you are trailing 1-0 and you know, hey, he's going to score. Don't worry. Keep patient. He's going to score. He scored. I had a feeling that he scored all the goals for us. And he was like that. Natural talent. Not extremely quick, but his feeling for space, his feeling for his first touch, is like, I can only compare Zidane and Modric for me. And okay, but then you can talk about Porcinecki, but first touch is some opaiet. But it's unbelievable. So he was not quick like, for example, like Bokšić. Bokšić was quick. But you had no chance to block Šuker with his movement. And first touch was so perfect that you were always late. Not always, but... So the difference, to explain Šuker played for Dinamo Zagreb. Bokšić played for Hajduk Split. I trained against Bokšić every day. And
because
that,
you
and
were
that
Hajduk
made
Split,
me,
for yeah, those
that,
who don't know.
Yeah, that made me much better player, because every day I had a great test for 3 or 4 years. And I played against Šuker. The difference between two of them, they're totally different kind of players. I don't know who is better. If you ask me, as a center back, when you play against Bokšić, he would have slaughtered you running, dribbling, going left in a channel, whatever, kick you, beat you, whatever. But maybe he wouldn't score. Like Shuker, you would have a good game against Shuker. You could block him, stop him, everything. By the end, he scored a couple. So, you know what I mean? And you think you had a good game. But
because then, maybe you gave him this much space.
Exactly.
Maybe you gave him a yard, half a yard.
No, you don't give him. He makes it.
Okay, beautiful.
That's the difference. So every time I like to talk, I always think about young kids. Unfortunately, I don't think that the kids who are starting to play football are hearing this. You know what I mean? But maybe their parents are. No, when they talk about Shuker, listen, the people think, you know, yeah, he was talented. He was God gave him that talent. But like Boban had to change that game, his game. Shuker had to improve his talent. So listen to this. I was already at West Ham. We have qualifications for Euro 96. I came to West Ham January 96. So we have a friendly game in March. We already qualified. Shuker is in Sevilla, I think, in Spain. Right. He comes to me and he goes to me. Already at that time, you could buy DVDs or VHS tapes, like goals from the Premier League season 94, 95, or 93, 94, whatever. And he asked me, can you buy them for me? I said, okay, of course I can. Of course I can. But I go, why? You know, why? He goes, you know, and then it was something like that. And then he goes, please buy them to me. And then after a few weeks or whatever, I asked him, like, how can you be? We are all in the front post, you're the near post. Or when everybody's there, you are somewhere there, and you score, and the ball comes to you. And he told me then, you know those tapes that you bought for me? I go, yeah. He goes, I watched them. And then he goes, because you know what? When the cross comes from here, it was not exactly like this, but something like this. He goes, when the ball comes from here, 68% of the goals come from here, 15% of the goals come from far post, and I don't know, 5% from goals come from the penalty spot. So I'm going there, where 68% of the goals are coming from. So even with God bless talents and everything, he had to work really hard to improve that talent.
My respect for him has gone up. I used to watch him and think that his knowledge, and some strikers are like this, about where to put the ball and when to put it there. I used to see goalkeepers off balance all the time, where I got a shot from Davor went across them. And I thought, maybe that's innate, that he has this vision about, if I time it now, if I put it at that angle, it doesn't matter how good he is, his body shape, or but I didn't realise how much work also went into it, which makes my respect go.
Plus, after every training, well, I don't know, I didn't play with him in Real Madrid, Sevilla, or whatever. I never played with Davor in the same team, but I played with him for a national team. Yeah. After every training, of course, he used to stay there with a couple of us or fullbacks or wingers, one goalkeeper, and then is it 40 or 50 crosses? But it's not 5 crosses. It's not 5 or 10 crosses. It is, I don't know, 50 or 60 or 40. It's like, come on, another one.
I don't tell this to you.
It's work.
Who know
work,
him.
You know, that's the difference. The people think that it's talent. It is talent, of course. But it's like Tesla, you know what I mean? Like Tesla. It's always the question. Okay, Tesla was a genius. He was born genius. All right. But there's also a thing that he was sleeping only 2 hours per day. So was Tesla
because
Tesla?
Of his notes and his
laboratory?
Yeah, because
of because
of his passion to get back and work on his theorem.
So why was he Tesla? What made him Tesla? Would he have been Tesla if he was sleeping 10 hours? No, I don't think so.
No, but I go back to what you say about tactics. You also have to have the 10% tactics to go with the hard work. So if he doesn't have the genius, then he could sleep no hours and still...
Exactly.
You said a word, equilibrium.
I could have sleep no hours and I wouldn't be Tesla because I'm not Tesla.
Yeah.
You know, but so you got to be complete. Mm-hmm. You got to have it both. And then all of them, the biggest difference, that's my opinion, maybe I'm totally wrong. My opinion is, the biggest, is it Tesla, Schuker, Boban, or whoever? Or Messi, or whoever. The biggest difference between successful people and more successful people is not talent, it's work rate. They work more. Or that workout can be in hours. That workout can also be in insisting on details. Because they're so crazy and so they want it so much. But the difference is work rate, not the talent.
But if you're working, there's always an argument about efficiency and efficacy. So if you're working really, really hard and you're quite efficient in how you're working, but you're not doing the right thing, I think that idea of hard work, you could see athletes or boxers who run themselves out or spar themselves out. And I'm certain the same thing can happen with footballers. This is not only an opinion, okay, which actually I'm giving to you because I don't know. When you're working that hard as a coach or a footballer, you have to be working intelligently too.
Yeah. I didn't say it's only work rate. I said you got to be complete.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't say it's only work. That's another, it's all about balance, like everything in life. It's all about balance, like, it's very, like, we had a player, everybody knows him, I think, Olic.
Yeah.
Olic, Bayern Munich, great, my player in the national team and all that. Olic was not talented in a way that people in Croatia think that talent means. In Croatia, you are talented if you tunnel the people, if you nutmeg people, if you can do funny things, but...
They call it fantasy sometimes.
Exactly. The talent in Croatia means only skill. Only skill. Because in Croatia they go like... Not only Croatia, but they go, look, oh, I have a guy, he's 15, he's so talented, but he's slow. For me, pace is also a part of talent. So, when we talk about that, many times when Olic was playing on television, and that's Champions League, for example, final,
scoring
Bayern.
The winner against Manchester
brilliant
United.
Brilliant player, exactly.
Scoring against Germany.
I bet you that in that game against Man United, the commentators were saying, like, look what you can achieve by only working hard. And I'm thinking, that's very, very heavy sentence, because then I was imagining, because I always imagine kids, I was imagining father sitting with his son is 10, 11, and he watches Olic playing for Bayern Munich, biggest stage ever, Old Trafford, and the father thinks, look, son, tomorrow morning I'm going to get you to football school, and only if it's only down to you, if you train every day, you're gonna be like college. You ain't gonna be like
Kozhnetsky.
Exactly, you ain't gonna be. So, it's when I say it's about the balance, you have to have it both.
So we've done a lot of things, Slaven, in this podcast series, but we've never had Dostoevsky on 352, or Tesla on the electricity of beautiful passing movements. So already, thank you.
The Big Interview is produced by Backpage and me, Graham Hunter. The music you always hear, the music that you love, is Beer Jacket. You can keep up with everything that we do, within reason, by getting on the mailing list at grahamhunter.tv. How many times do I have to tell you? Yes, several thousand of you have done it, but come on, slackers at the back, sign up. That grahamhunter.tv site is also where you can buy the new updated version of my book, Barca, The Making of the Greatest Team in the World. It's my account of the Guardiola era at the Camp Nou from 2008 until 2012, plus Tito, Tata and Adios Johan Cruyff. It is in all good bookshops now, but it does also make a big difference to all of us who've worked on the project if you choose to buy direct at grahamhunter.tv/books. You'll be sure to get the new edition and you will be helping us to continue producing independent content. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being there. Without you, this would be fun, but a lot less fun. See you soon.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.